Welcome to the Knickers Twin podcast. Today I'm joined by Chris FM.
We're joined by me at last.
At last after your snooker. And by myself, obviously Gareth Lewis. And today we're doing something slightly different. We're going to be doing our Cup Finals Day special, non-league Cup Finals Day special. And we're going to look to both finals. We're going to sort of choose all four teams, almost like a sort of mini team of the week section for each one.
God forbid we get one of them again.
Yeah,
we'll have run out of
exactly. We'll have run out of some things.
Certainly won't get Leighton Orient again.
No, exactly. And so speaking of that, three of the four teams have actually got promoted.
They have.
Amazing.
They do. Yeah, amazing cup runs.
It does show how winning breeds winning, because they've obviously won enough to get to a final, also winning to get promoted. And then obviously Fylde got kind of unlucky because they basically played a League One team in the playoff final.
Loads of money.
Yeah, and it'll be their second visit to Wembley in the space of 9 days.
Yeah, it's quite extraordinary, isn't it? Really, that they've never gone, and then they go again.
Yeah, I could just hear vibrating.
It's not for that reason, Gareth Lewis.
You are wearing a dressing gown for some reason.
I'm very tired.
You invited me to your house. You have a dressing gown on and I hear vibrations. I'm quite scared. So, how the teams got to the finals of the FA Vars?
Oh, well, their route through, yeah.
Yeah, so, as we said...
It's over 700 teams start in the FA Vars.
There are a lot of teams. And some of these teams...
You have to win 9 or 10 matches.
Yeah, all of these teams we will never have heard of. Chertsey began their campaign in the first qualifying round with a victory over Woodley United.
Woodley, yeah.
They proceeded to defeat Tadley Clever, Flackwell Heath, who I've heard of because they're near Wickham, Horndean, Redbridge, St Austell, Earlham, and West Auckland Town en route to the semi-final where they faced Northwich Victoria. After a 1-0 draw in the first leg, Chertsey Town drew 0-0 after extra time in the second leg before winning 5-3 on penalties to secure a place in the final. And I have seen a video of them winning in the final penalty and it just goes absolutely...
Is it ballistic?
Mad.
Especially, it's nice because Northwich Victoria team that have been in the conference as well. So it's like...
They got Steve Kingified.
They got Steve Kingified and then it all went... Well,
Steve King.
All went Steve King.
Not Pete Tong,
Not
it's Steve
Pete Tong,
King.
It's Steve King. Yeah. And They had a fantastic thing. I think what's nice is that it's two teams who have never been in the Vars final.
Yes, yeah.
So there's going to be a new winner.
Because we had a couple of teams in a row, didn't we, with the FA Trophy during the season.
Absolutely.
That somehow had all got to the finals at
Absolutely.
Some point. And then if we go to Cray Valley Paper Mills, who obviously, we already liked their name when we first started.
But if you look, their badge even has brackets PM.
Yeah.
As in like, oh, it's the afternoon.
Yeah.
Like, no, is it Cray Valley? Oh, it's in the afternoon.
They always play at 3 p.m.
Always play at 3 p.m., mostly on Saturdays. But it's like, I just love that it doesn't even just say Cray Valley, it's just Cray Valley brackets PM. Yeah. I've never seen brackets in a shirt, in a team's name.
In a football club, yeah.
It's fantastic.
But they also began their campaign in the first qualifying round. So both teams started pretty much at the start of the competition.
At the start.
And they were both at the finals. They defeated Sutton Athletic. Victories over Hailsham Town, which isn't too far away from us. St Pantelimon, which I'm guessing is how you say it.
St Pantelimon, the patron saint of Mickey Mouse.
Sunderland's ex-goalkeeper's become a saint. Pantelimon.
Pantelimon.
Badshot Lee, Sheppey United, Baffin's Milton Rovers.
Sheppey, as in the Isle of Sheppey.
Yeah.
Have a football team.
Yeah. Bloody hell. Baffin's Milton Rovers.
Baffin's.
I just like Baffin's.
I think Baff is also...
Baffin's is like a posh person's version of a swear word. Oh, Baffin's.
Baffin's. It sounds vaguely rude. What's the verb to baff?
Well, experienced in that. Abbey Rangers and Willand Rovers saw them reach the semi-final where they faced Canterbury City. Cray Valley Paper Mills won the round 2-1 on aggregate after winning the first leg 1-0 and the second leg ending in a 1-0 draw. Mm-hmm. So they've both got to the final from the first round, which is pretty extraordinary. It's probably one of the first times that's happened.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Because some teams obviously enter slightly later.
Well, it's the equivalent of, you know, I don't know, who's in the FA Cup.
Hailsham Town?
It's the equivalent of Hailsham Town getting to the FA Cup final. And also, Chertsey have been in the quarterfinals of the Vars twice before. So they do have a little bit of form when it comes to it. But also, it feels weird because it's a very southern It is. It's a very southern occasion, yeah. isn't it?
Whereas, they're quite close to each other, really.
And they're quite close. You know, Surrey and Cray are in Kent, aren't they?
Yeah, well, because Cray play at Greenwich Borough's ground.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, Chertsey are in Chertsey. Thorpe Park.
What, is it Thorpe Park?
Yeah, Thorpe Park's basically in between Chertsey and I've forgotten the town that's over from that. But yeah, it's in between those two
very
towns.
Very nice. I think it's fair to say that both teams have a slightly different history with it.
Yes.
With the FA Vars as well.
I did find an article in Get Surrey, and it was on the 1st of April. Mm-hmm. Not on April Fool's, though, because it has Chertsey Town making the FA Vars final. But it says, Chertsey Town chairman Steve Powers broke down in tears after his club reached the FA Cup Vars. Or FA Cup? Why I keep going to say FA Cup,
Cup Vars.
Yeah. Steve Powers broke down in tears after his club reached the FA Vars final at Wembley with a dramatic penalty shootout win against Norwich Victoria at Owens Lane on Saturday. Having drawn the first leg, 1-0, and a 0-0 stalemate in front of 2,000 fans, meant a Wembley date with Cray Valley Paper Mills on Sunday, May 19th would be decided by spot kicks. And it just goes about who scored and who's missed. And just a little interview with their owner. He says, "I'm elated," said Powers. "I was told off by my wife for crying because I didn't even cry on my wedding day." When we got that final penalty, I just went in.
God, what does Pochettino's wife think after that display for Tottenham against the Ajax?
She's pregnant, 20 feet away. When we got that final...
Raw emotion.
When we got that final penalty, I just went. The floods came out. It comes with 20-odd years of the committee keeping this club alive and keeping their place afloat. When we've had 60 people here on a cold December night, then someone like Dave Rayner to come in and put the money in and then to do what we have done here. There's been a buzz around everybody expected. We've got a team of players who don't lose, who you don't see lose. Obviously, you don't because they won the league.
Mm.
There were Norwich players sitting on the floor and I went over to pick them up and said, "You've done yourselves proud here. We would have been in the same if our lads had lost." He said he hates football when it's decided on penalties, but we've won, so he doesn't care.
But we've won. We may see some penalties on Saturday.
That would be brilliant.
What's the penalties?
Just some penalties.
Well, it would reduce our drinking time because there'll be extra time and penalties in between the two games. Mm. So, you know, there's
yeah, but extra time.
There's pluses and minuses.
Yeah, there is pluses and minuses.
Because there's no drink, as you reminded me so sweetly. There's no
it's
drinking
an FA
in the
competition.
Ground.
So,
anyway, we talked about that before, haven't we? There's an article in Surrey Live. Boss Dave Anderson says he's left no stone unturned in Chertsey Town's preparations as excitement builds. The Northern Irishman and former AFC Wimbledon manager has overseen apparently meticulous preparations, including training on Chelsea state of the art pitches at Cobham.
Nice. To
get used to a nice pitch.
Yeah.
And I love that he just goes, another thing they've been doing is training from between noon and 2 p.m.
Oh.
Because that's when they'll be playing their match. And when
when
you consider that, first of all, if that is all their training.
Surely most of them would be at work.
That's
though.
What I thought. So are they just doing it on a Saturday? They're just doing it like...
Well, I guess since the league's finished, because they didn't play in the playoffs, they could have done it the weekend.
Absolutely. He's open to do really well. I think apparently... They've sold in the region of 5,500 tickets, Chertsey.
That's really good.
Which is fantastic.
That's fantastic.
And the manager added, "That's incredible." He said the two games before I took over as manager, the paying crowd was 11 and 19. He said there's a lot of people who have put a lot of effort in. He mentions Dave Rayner, football director, committee member and benefactor. And their stalwart secretary, Chris Gray, apparently has overseen almost all of the 2,273 League and Cup matches played since he was in post in 1977. That's a lot of Chertsey games, isn't it?
Just a few.
We're going to see one.
Yeah.
And he's seen 2,273. So done fantastically well. And did you read about John Pomeroy?
I did not, no.
John Pomeroy, their club legend. He's scored 347 goals from 625 appearances. The club's most prolific scorer. And has made the greatest number of appearances. The 37-year-old Pomeroy is apparently going to be on the list of substitutes. Doesn't get as many games these days. But will... If like the game's over, will likely come on as like a ceremonial thing and help lift the trophy as a mark of respect for the club's greatest player, Dale Binns.
Dale Binns, ex-Lewis player.
I thought he was. It could be a final for hurrah for Dale Binns too, who was tempted out of retirement.
How old is he? 48.
He does bring his Zimmer.
He was quite old when he played for Lewis.
He wasn't a young spring chicken, was he? And that was over ten years ago.
Yeah.
You know, he was tempted out of retirement to play for them as well. So there's some money in the game from a Lewis fan's perspective as well. I saw on the Chertsey Town Twitter feed that they've got a brand new John Pomeroy legend banner that's going out that looks Very do you remember Word Art in Microsoft Word?
Yes.
Like, it looks like that. It doesn't look like
it may have been. It's not. Maybe it's cheaper to do it that way.
It's definitely not InDesign or like fancy Adobe software. No. It's like literally, you know, Windings.
If it was Windings, you wouldn't be able to read it.
So Chertsey are aiming for to do something in Rackless as well as get promoted. So they'll be potentially not in the... If they get promoted to the to kind of the situation league, they won't be in the FFRs next year. So it's,
no.
Like a, it's like a swan song for both teams, really, from
yes.
from competing at that level.
Well, I guess it kind of makes sense that the two teams that are top of the division, at the highest division that can enter the competition, would make the
finals.
Would
make the final, yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't always happen that way, I guess.
No.
But it is happens to be, yeah. One some of those step it's step eight, isn't it?
Yes.
Like those step eight teams who are doing well.
Yeah, something we haven't seen Lewis in ever.
No.
Or at least for, you know, some people have, but not since we've supported them.
I think there was another thing about Chertsey is their sponsors are Longman's Traditional Sweet Shop.
Oh.
So they're still going in the Longman's Traditional Sweet Shop. All of their merchandise that they've been creating has been sold from Longman's Traditional Sweet Shop. And Longman's have been tweeting all week. And I just love how non-league is that or how FA Vars is that.
A sweet shop
that
tweeting.
A sweet shop is practically the centre of the Chertsey Town universe whilst they're not being playing home matches.
I did find about Chertsey with their ground. Just a short piece. It's founded in 1890. Owens Lane has been home to Chertsey Town since 1929 when it was left by local philanthropist Sir Edward Stern. Purely for the use of the premier club in the parish. The local cricket club also benefited from the donation of an adjacent field. Prior to the club, had played a number of venues in the town, including the Grange until the outbreak of the Great War in 1914, and subsequently the Hollows. So they've had some good names.
Mm.
Owens Lane, the Hollows, and the Grange.
Very nice.
No, like, I fix it plus stadium nonsense.
The Longman Sweet Shop bowl.
The Longman's Bowl.
their nickname as well, the Curfews.
Yes,
the I quite like that. The Curfews, like that's
well,
that, that's a
their
that's
Twitter
a
is
one.
The Curfews as well. And every time I've sort of put a tweet out, it's always confused me because I keep typing in Chertsey FC and it or Chertsey Town FC, it doesn't come up with anything. And I'm like, oh yeah, shit, they're called the Curfews.
The Curfews,
they?
Yes.
Yeah.
This time next week, they on their Twitter on the 12th of May, they said 5,500 curfews will be making their way to Wembley. Apparently, the reason they're called a curfew is a famous local bell, which used to ring come evening curfew, which still rings now. But it's been ringing for 500 years.
Oh, wow.
Apparently, that's why they call the curfews.
When you said a bell, I thought you just meant a local moron.
A local absolute
moron. You absolute you local absolute bell.
What a local bell. Yeah, that's not a compliment, is it?
Mm.
What are you named after? Oh, a local bell.
So we finished our Chertsey bit, and we're going to move on to our Cray Valley Paper Mills
CVPM.
I do like CVPM.
Apply a CVPM to your flesh wounds.
To your flesh wound.
The Millers.
So we've got the Curfews and the Millers.
The Curfews and the Millers.
I just wanted to have a look at their sort of recent history, and their record in competitions is pretty good.
Mm.
And so I'm just going to start from 2002 to 2003 season. They won the Division 1 West, earning promotion to the Premier Division.
Mm-hmm.
Two seasons later, they won the Premier Division.
Mm-hmm.
After finishing third in 2010-11, they moved up to the Kent League,
mm-hmm.
which was renamed the Southern Counties Eastern League in 2013. When the league gained a second division in 2016, the club became members of the Premier Division. In 2016-17, they won the London Senior Cup, beating Met Police 2-1 in the final, becoming the lowest-ranked team ever to win the trophy.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were also runners-up in the Kent Reliance Senior Trophy in the same season. However, they were disqualified from the first round of the FA Vars for fielding an ineligible player, former Crystal Palace defender Matthew Parsons. And then the club reached the London Senior Cup final again the following season, but lost 4-1 to Balham. And then, obviously, this season, they've reached the FA Vars final. So, recently, they've had a lot of finals.
Well, they have been around. Well, this is actually their 100th year anniversary.
Yes, it is.
You get the feeling.
Yeah.
If
they're going to win the double.
When things come together, things come together. And
if
I think
they win the double.
They were founded in 1919, the Millers, playing in their green and white, which apparently was the colour of the mills that they're named after, the vehicles. What colours are they? Will they be playing in on Saturday, Gaff?
I think Chertsey are the home team, so wearing. Yeah, so it would be blue and white against green and black, I guess.
Indeed. One of their famous players that they've got, I'm not sure if you've got this one, Gareth, is Kevin Lisby.
Yep.
There's an interview in the... I love the name of this paper. Have you got the Harwich and Manningtree Standard?
No, I haven't got that one. I have an article from Tales from the Pigeon Stands.
Tales from the Pigeon Stands?
Yeah.
Well, it says Evergreen. That's a good way to describe someone. Evergreen, former Colchester striker, Kevin Lisby, is aiming to roll back the years at Wembley this weekend. The 40-year-old joked he won't be retiring until Jamie Cureton. Is that another?
It's not a Cray Valley player, but it's a
I recognise the name.
It's the player for Bishop Stortford, their manager.
Ah, yes, that's
who's like 40
and still 40. Gets a run out.
He won their Player of the Season award as well, and I think he was their top goal scorer.
He was saying that potentially this game at Wembley could be his last ever game. He said, "My knee's giving me a few problems, and you never know when it's going to be your last game. So when you're 27, you think about retiring at 30, but as you go on, that changes, and everyone knows how much I love the game. I retired 2 years ago to come back and get to Wembley is great."
Well, he is 40.
He is 40 years old. He said the last time he played at Wembley, he was 36, 37. So he said it's more exciting this time. But he said he's going to enjoy the fact that a lot of the players for Cray haven't played there before. Understand.
That'd be a slight advantage for them because he'll have some prior sort of experience, so he can sort of explain to them, or maybe try and think sort of this way.
Don't go
help
to the
you.
Box park before and yeah. have a beer. Yeah. That's not advisable.
Exactly. Well, because I was listening. I know it's a bit of a tangent, but I was listening to something the other week, and they were talking to Enya Luko, and because she's obviously played for England at Wembley, in massive stadiums and things like that, and their women's team, Juventus's women's team, because she plays for them now. They played their last home game of the season at the main Juventus, like the men's stadium or the first team stadium, whatever you want to call it, instead of like their small stadium that they normally play in. And it's the first time they've ever done that. And she was saying that like, she was one of the only people in the squad that's ever played at a massive stadium. And so she's advised the manager, say, can we go there the day before so they can get all their pictures and shit out the way?
Because again, on the Twitter feeds of both teams, they've put up pictures of the players all like in the middle of the pitch and that, and doing pictures of all their stuff. So understandably, they need to get a feel for the place. Because it's going to be apparently about 40,000 tickets have sold. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, it could be.
Oh, I didn't think it was that many.
That was the latest.
Although we did book it a while ago. So.
We did book it a while ago. I've looked at the sections. There's a Leighton Orient section, which is the largest. There's like a Cray section. There's four sections of the ground, and there's a neutral place where I presume.
Which is where we are.
A little detail on this at the end of this Harwich and Manningtree Standard article. It says that Kevin Lisby runs his own finishing school. For more details, contact him on Instagram. How does that happen? What does he mean, finishing school?
Like Instagram finishing school.
is he like a private school magnate now? It's like, on the one hand, Cray Valley paid Mills. On the other hand, Poshetonians.
Yes.
You know, finishing school.
Finishing school.
How's the leap from, you know, playing management and so on?
I don't know.
Anyway, that's
just a little thing on Kevin Lisby.
Go on.
I was reading about him. I don't think he's actually really won anything in his career. Whereas this season he's 40 and he might win a double.
He might win the double, yeah.
Yeah.
The big double, that
is. Well, the League and FA Vars double. Still a good one.
That is still an awesome double.
And I know Wikipedia isn't always right with their statistics, but apparently he's played 25 times for them and scored 23 goals. I'm not sure that's accurate. I'm sure he's played a few more games in that in 2 years. Well, I know he's 40, but
in an interview with the FA website as well, Lisby says that he's got about 150 tickets. That might explain why there's 40,000 sold. But he's actually sold 150 of them. And a good deal of the professionals I've worked with and appreciate what I've done here. He said Chris Powell, Mark Bright, five or six of them said they're going to come, and I've bought them tickets. So if they don't, they owe me £12.50 each. How has he gotten for £12.50? We paid 25.
I was going
to
say.
I know, outrageous. Mate,
it's OAP, isn't it? Concessions.
If your knees crack when you get
Mark Bright. is it Mark Bright or Mark Wright?
Mark Bright.
I was going to say, Mark Wright's the celebrity person.
So in terms of the Cray Valley Paper Mills experience, they're staying in a London hotel the night before. They've also got brand new track suits. Before changing into a bespoke one-off kit and new boots. Yeah, they're going to be pretty snazzy. They decided not to do suits. It's quite traditional for a cup final to wear proper suits. But apparently the players felt more comfortable in track suits, and we've had a kit company make a bespoke kit. So it's got the players' names on the back, squad numbers, and across the middle it's got all the committee and fans and people that have been a big part of the club this season. Their names are on the kit, and that's a nice touch, and they'll be able to keep it as a bit of memorabilia. So yeah, that's pretty nice, isn't it?
That is really good, especially I think if they did the suits thing as well, they don't normally do that. So why would they just do it for the final? It's like kind of makes it more nerve wracking.
Exactly. Yeah. It's almost like you need to, in some respects, if you can, treat it as any other game. They said it's unusual circumstances for the club, selling over 3,000 tickets, Cray Valley, Paper Mills, and sorting out kit and boots, travel arrangements, accommodation, all the bits that a higher level team are more acclimatised towards, and they just said that we're not. So, yeah, so big leaps into the unknown for a lot of these teams.
They do have a really nice looking scarf that they've got on sale because of their...
exploits.
Their exploits. It's obviously just got Cray Valley Paper Mills on it, and it's... green and black, but it looks quite nice. You don't see many green and black teams, really.
No, not enough.
Not enough. Well, I do like, I mean, a lot of people hate the green kits because they sort of blend in with the pitch a little for TV.
Mm.
But when you actually see them up close, I do like a green kit. I don't know what it is.
Well, it's a very, what's the word? It's a rich green, isn't it?
Yeah, it's rich green because... when Lewis had a green kit a few, obviously when they started, but a few years ago they did the 125th kit.
Yes,
it was the green away one. That was the only one that I've bought for years because I just liked it because it was green. Like, I don't normally buy kits that often for Lewis kits anyway. And I don't know, something about me. I just like a green kit.
Likes a green kit.
I like a green kit.
Just one last thing on Cray Valley Paper Mills.
CVPM.
I do like CVPM. 2015. Cray Valley Paper Mills, FC, to partner with mybettingclub.com. Cray Valley to launch betting service for supporters and have teamed up with myclubbetting.com. Now, we've already gone through sort of their recent history of getting to lots of finals and things.
Mm.
This was announced just before they sort of started doing that.
Mm.
I'm not saying anything, but is it a bit...
Nice, it's a good job you're sitting in the neutral stands on Sunday.
Is it a bit Italian? Is it a bit Paul Scholes that all these bets? No, I'm just joking, obviously. But interesting partnership for a team at the time was a couple of leagues below, or at least one or two leagues below where they are now to have. Really,
Are you suggesting it's a little bit like the like the famous Match of the Day Hugh Dennis thing where it said things a football commentator would never say. And it was, here's results of next week's Italian Premier League results.
here's the results of next week's FA Vars game.
FA Vars game.
That was the end of our FA Vars bit.
Yeah.
And after this little break, you'll hear our FA Trophy final preview. Welcome back to the second part, or the final part, pretty much, of the... non-league finals weekend preview show. We have the 2019 FA Trophy final. Obviously, it's AFC Fylde and Leighton Orient.
Mm-hmm.
As we did with the Vars, we're going to just sort of go through the route to the final.
Yeah.
So we'll start with AFC Fylde.
No, I think it's fair to say AFC Fylde had the most interesting time.
They did have an interesting few games. I might go for the scores on this one because there are some interesting ones. So Fylde, they won... where was it? They won in the first round. They won 5-1 against Stratford Town.
Mm-hmm.
Second round, 1-0 against Biggleswade Town.
Biggles. Big up the Biggles.
And then they had a game postponed against Ramsbottom.
Oh, God, yeah.
And then they played again a couple of days later, and it was 5-5. And then, obviously, it went to a replay. And they won 4-1 in the replay.
That match against Ramsbottom, you even got a piece on the BBC website, and it opens with, this is when Newport beat Middlesbrough.
Yeah.
Never mind Newport dumping Middlesbrough out of the FA Cup. Tuesday's real knockout drama came 200 miles north as National League High Flies drew 5-5 at Ramsbottom in the last 16 of the FA Trophy. Quite extraordinary scenes. 3-2.
Fair play to Ramsbottom.
Absolutely. In fact, Ramsbottom were 3-2 down at half time, and they went 5-4 up in the 83rd minute, and then in the 87th minute, it got back to 5-5. Fylde. The manager said it was full of praise for Ramsbottom, and I thought they were unbelievably good. So yeah, I mean, a 5-5 match.
It's not too bad, is it? Over the course of the two games, it was 9-6.
Yes, aggregate score.
Yes, exactly. And in the quarterfinals, they played Barnet 0-0, 4-1 on penalties, Fylde won. 0-0 again in the semi-final, mm-hmm. in the first leg. Second leg, it was 3-2 to Fylde, and obviously they went through 3-2 on aggregate. And obviously now they're in the final. And the attendance for that Stockport game, the second leg, 6,064. First leg was 2,600 as well. So that's a very healthy attendances.
Very.
And then we move on to Leighton Orient. Again, first round, 4-0 against Beaconsfield. Second round, they won against Wrexham 1-0. That was, I think that was a BT Sport game even.
Yeah.
Leighton Orient against Blyth Spartans was the next one in the third round.
North Korea.
North Korea 1-0. Yeah, they only won 1-0 because the North Korea threatened them to to not win by any more. Quarterfinals, 2-1 against Brackley away. In the semi-final, first leg was against AFC Telford. They won 1-0. And then the second leg, quite comfortable, 2-1. Attendance is not too bad in this one. Both of them just around 3,500. For both teams, home and away. And I just like that another St James's Park, Brackley Town. Obviously, you got Newcastle and Exeter, St James's Park.
And Brackley have got another
just
one.
Found Brackley Town and St James's Park as well.
St James is a busy boy, isn't he?
He is.
It's all in parks that he's got. It's outrageous.
He's in those parks, in those toilets, with his fingers in the hole, in the side of the cubicle.
It's just rumours. AFC Fylde, then. They've got huge ambitions, as seen by the fact that they actually visited Wembley. I mean, like 10 days ago?
Yes.
Madness. They lost, unfortunately, lost in the...
Did they watch AFC Fylde play against Salford?
they lost out on promotion to the Football League. They've got big ambitions to be a big league club. And it just feels... when I was looking at that game, it just felt weird to think that a team called AFC Fylde could be in the... It's just such a... They've come out of nowhere for so...
Well, they have, really.
Yeah. They've literally come out of nowhere. In terms of their previous name as well. Of course, they were formerly known as Kirkham and Wesham.
Was that not Chertsey?
Shut up. Shut up. My research is top notch.
It is top notch.
Like, there's four things to keep in my head, Gareth Lewis. They actually won the FA Vars back in 2008 and then changed their name in 2008-09 season.
Yes.
They're back 11 years later, having changed, kind of had a big change in their history. And they couldn't be more on the up if they tried, really.
That FA Vars final, they actually played against Lowestoft Town. It was at Wembley as well. Mm. They won 2-1. There was 19,537 people there.
Wow.
Apparently about 14,000, not 4,000, 14,000 of them were from Lowestoft.
Lowestoft got 14,000 people in it?
I don't know. Apparently.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly.
Coasters, like I said, very much trying to... crack into the Football League. And that's how playing by 2022. The chairman, who's very ambitious, saying they want to get into Football League by 2022. Before we got a few more bits and bobs, there was a lovely, I'm not sure if you saw this one, Gareth. They went viral.
Did see this. This was one of my main topics.
A main topic was that they made headlines after an old school prank called Imagination of the Country. Three season ticket holders of the young variety. Yes. Known here as Jack, Tom and Timo.
Timo?
Asked to stand in a stadium announcer to make an announcement over the PA, only to be left a little red-faced. They basically said that their car was being blocked in, and they asked the stadium announcer to announce that with a registration plate, NE14ABJ. And
I think that's my car, actually.
And... only a few moments later, they realised the sort of the cock up. To pardon the expression, he said the stadium announcer said, "I've well and truly been had," but actually, rather than they actually tweeted about it, the club.
It was quite nice that they tweeted about it themselves.
Tweeted about it themselves, and they ended up giving the kids a load of merchandise.
Yeah, they gave them a shirt each, didn't they?
Like, I'm not sure if that's the the answer to
It's nice for
bit
them.
Bit of loyalty.
It?
It's very nice for them.
A little bit of ingenious.
There's a picture of them with a bag full of filed merchandise. So I think the lesson of that is crude jokes with new free gear.
If they are going to the game on Sunday,
if
they can get the stadium announcer at Wembley to do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Everyone should chip in a couple of quid for him.
What, like Bart Simpson ring up them?
Yeah, exactly.
And ask him to send you an answer for Phil Crack.
Exactly, Phil McCracken. Just to go back to the 2022 thing that their chairman saying about, they have actually, I think it's this season, or I think it's actually been the last couple of seasons, on their shirts, on their sleeves, on their shirts, they have actually got 2022 on their shirts, and they've had a thing on their shirts as well on the back. It's a little sort of stars, and they get checked. They get filled in every time they've got a promotion. So they had a promotion from the league, the Northern League. Mm. And they had the star tick filled in, and then they had a star filled in for the Conference North. Then they've got a star for the
they've won World Cup.
National
I thought
League.
You only did that with World Cup. So
no, it's not. It's not above the crest. It's like on the back right. somewhere. It's like a hit, you know, like on the sleeve or something.
Yeah.
And it's
on,
basically just sort
the
of they fill them in every time they get promoted because obviously they're trying to get to the football.
They
league.
Rub them out if they get from relegated.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, like, we got no stars left.
Whoopsie.
Just like really, so like I've only got two stars now.
Yeah, we had three.
We had three.
At least they're half filled in.
Did you see the hilarious tweets they did about the scarves at Wembley, Gareth?
I did not.
Well, you'll love this. And AFC filed that they only tweeted this a little while ago. There is a picture of a these occasions always bring out the entrepreneurial sorts with their scarves and their homemade banners.
Yeah.
So there's a picture of the scarves that will be on the scarves, but they've spelt filed AFC filed completely wrong on all the scarves to the point where. They've got one saying...
What, did they put F-I-L-E-D or something?
No, worse. They put F-L-Y-N-D-E, Flinder.
Flinder?
And, but then even...
Well, how do you know that's not like a Norwegian team?
Flinder.
AFC Flind.
And even better, they spelt it differently, F-L-Y-D-E, on the one where it's got both teams on it, saying Leyton Orient versus Phil. So they've got one with the individual team. I'm just going to show you here. They've got... FC Flinder.
Flind.
And then Flied.
Flied.
And so...
Flied.
It is just...
Flind and Flied.
And they haven't even put the brackets on the Crow Valley paper mill.
Oh,
so,
that's appalling.
So, I mean, it's so hilarious that actually I think it might sell out. A bit like, you know...
They've got them there, I really want to buy a Flind.
Because
a Flind scarf.
I think that it's one of those ones where like when it goes through a factory and it goes wrong, they're usually
how
sought
many,
after.
How many people has that gone through?
Well,
checked it off and it still got to that stage.
Well, AFC filed tweet said happy to sign that off. AFC Flinder in the trophy final with an E, trophy with an E. Yes, absolutely perfect. Great print, 1,000. So I hope that they are on sale.
I really want to get one
because I just think that's great. And I just can't wait to see the filed fans' faces. There's one, filed fans' faces.
Yeah.
When they see that, like I have trouble with, you know, teams, as we know, not terribly. But
at least you haven't said AFC Flind.
I also am not trying to monetize. I'm not trying to monetize my football.
That's what you should do. Next job, print off a load of AFC North Ferribly.
Whenever North Ferribly reach the FA Trophy final,
print off Ferribly ones. Unless they've called their new team Ferribly.
All the fans will get that, and they'll be delighted. So,
Now I have another great visual element to this podcast that
won't
be able to see. It's a lot for the if obviously a lot of people have obviously heard of them, and they've been on TV and things, but. Their floodlights at their stadium, because they're on their badge, they've obviously got a couple of jets on there.
Mm.
And just their floodlights, I just love their floodlights. They are literally like jets taking off with some lights
it's
around
quite fancy.
Them.
Yeah,
so,
I like that.
Yeah, that's for the sort of like stadium nerd people out there.
Bit of architecture.
If you've never, you know, seen the floodlights, they're pretty cool.
It's a miracle that there was a point only a couple of weeks ago, a story on BBC News filed could have gone out of business. Quite recently, because they had an accountant who stole thousands of pounds on cocaine and a live sex cam model. Sorry, oops. Andrew Bambrook from Bispham in Lancashire took £240,000 from Fylde to also fund online gaming, luxury gifts, and a champagne lifestyle. And they only borrowed the club only survived borrowing money to stay afloat from like the group of companies that the. Club was in. The judge said, "You stuck the money up your nose, drinking champagne, bros, befriended a live six camera, bought lavish gifts for her, and paid for her time." And apparently, spent £50,000 to £70,000 on luxury goods for this live six cam model. And he paid £8 a minute for her live webcam services. £8 a minute. Has he not heard of Pornhub? Like free. It's extraordinary.
More expensive than taxis.
It does make you question, and I think the David Haythornthwaite said that it. thank God he said it, but he said it exposed the flaws in our system that allowed Mr. Barber to take so much money without being challenged. He said the sad thing is that the only person who benefited from all this is a cool girl in Manchester and someone we have absolutely no legal right to recover the money.
At least she's local.
At least it's the local economy that we're supporting. The local pimp. Pimp.
Wasn't magnate. Some like Romanian girl with like potato internet. You just got a slideshow of Vag.
What did you do? Say, I transferred £240,000 from my own personal account and I spent it for ages.
I wouldn't have thought it would be like in one go. It's probably just dribs and drabs, and it just added up to 240,000.
Possibly. Like Andy, his name's Andy. You'd just be like
Andy?
If he turned up at the board meeting, you'd just be like, Andy, why are you wearing gold sovereigns?
Turns up with his laptop and a line.
He just turns up with
a
bag full of Harrods gifts. at what point do you go, hold on a minute, you're in charge of our money? And, you know, it just, there's a little bit, you keep turning up with this girl outside.
I don't think she's outside, she's just on the internet.
She's wearing, he met her as well.
Oh, really?
Apparently.
She got 59 grand out of him, so.
That's a lot of, like, fur. That's a lot of chihuahua fur.
Exactly.
Some sad news, but he has been brought to account and has got jailed for 32 months.
Good. I did find one bit on, it was actually on TalkSport, it's an investigation for the semi-final. Alex Reid struck a 89th minute winner to send them to the final. But the Stockport fans apparently are confronted
in inverted parlance, commas.
It just seems like they potentially, some of the players got attacked pretty much at the final whistle. One of their managers says it just shows how big an effect football all over this country has.
Mm.
You have one idiot who runs on at Birmingham because it's a similar time to when that happened. And all of a sudden now everyone thinks it's clever to do it. It's wrong, it really is. What you can't do is say that that's synonymous with of all their
long
fans.
Words, Gareth. I know, it's very long words.
A few beers. It's just some idiot running on the pitch. Like, so obviously, you know, they'll say, oh, it's Stockport's fans. But really, it's just one idiot, really.
Yeah.
But you think, like, because there's not much you can really do about it, because you can't have a steward every foot along the edge of the pitch everywhere.
No.
And it's just one.
You have to rely on just like common sense.
Prevailing. Well,
Well, usually if you're that tanked up, you shouldn't be able to get over the barrier in the first place.
Yeah, exactly.
That's like
Chris Harris at Havant and Waterloo.
Yeah, like you shouldn't be, you know, if you've had that many beers, you should be incapacitated to perform a pitch invasion in the first place to have the nerve or the gall. And if you want to do that when you're sober, then you just shouldn't be at a football ground.
No, exactly. Well, there are a lot of angry people at football grounds.
That's true.
Like at Burgess Hill.
That's true. Haythornwaite, the chairman, also gave an interview to the Blackpool Gazette and said, which is very, very fair comment. You don't normally get two cracks at Wembley when you're a team like FC Fylde in the space of a week and a half.
Yes, exactly.
He said that he actually didn't enjoy the playoff final at all because it was 46 matches, well, including the playoffs, more than that, which all just kind of go to pot in the space of 90 minutes. He said it was an awful experience. It was a day that I didn't particularly enjoy, but I said to my wife, I'll definitely enjoy this occasion. It wasn't so much the nerves, it was because it was absolutely massive, wasn't it? It's a horrible, horrible feeling. I knew the enormity of it all, but I must admit I didn't really enjoy anything. It's not sour grapes, it was just not enjoyable. So I'm sure he'll be having a few more bevvies and a slightly
before
more...
Before the game.
Because it's kind of, you know, it's a free pass. You know, they got a team that got promoted. They're going to Wembley. It's less pressure in the sense that, you know, you can win a trophy, but it's not the end of the world if they don't.
No.
So, yeah. I think if we're supporting the underdog, it's got to be AFC Fylde.
It is. Good luck to him. So we're going to move on to Leighton Orient. So we've done our AFC Fylde. Yep. And just one that's kind of interesting. I mean, it is from dreamteamfc.com, which is an offcast of, or an offshoot of The Sun. So believe of it what you will.
Yes. Freddie Starr ate my hamster.
Shoved it up his anus. Funny old game. Remembering when Leighton Orient, for some reason, played against India in a friendly.
Oh.
India had a billion people to choose from and still couldn't defeat Tommy Taylor's Division 3 side. Wow. We've all seen those internet virals of three professional footballers against 100 school children in pre-season kickabouts. But have you heard the one about the nation of a billion people playing against a Division 3 side in East London? Well, that's exactly what happened in July the 31st, 2001, when India came to play against Leighton Orient at Brisbane Road. Details of the game are incredibly sketchy. One website by the name of indiafootball.de tells us that the score was 1-1. There were approximately 1,800 people there, and Paul Alcock, he of being pushed over by Paolo Di Canio fame.
He of 100% cock.
Yeah, of being pushed over by Paolo Di Canio fame was the referee. Says, I do remember the game quite well, says Leighton Orient legend Matt Lockwood, who played in the game. I remember how noisy the crowd were that day. The atmosphere was really good, even though it wasn't a full house. First sticker point, while the internet records it at approximately 1,800 fans, Lockwood says it was more like 3,000. The India fans were out in force and making themselves heard. There would be definitely been more than 1,800 there that day, if I remember rightly. But even if there were only 1,800, they definitely sound like there was more than twice that amount.
Mm.
So just a random event in Leighton Orient's history where They played India.
Indeed. One of their stars in the last couple of years has been Macaulay Bonn. But I'd say Bonne. Bonn. B-O-N-N-E.
Bonn.
Bonn.
I'd say Bonn.
I'd say Bonn. Let's go Bonn.
Bonn.
Scored 49 goals for Leighton Orient in the last couple of years, so hoping to score his 50th. And an interview with TalkSport was discussing some of the things that's going on. So I'm a striker, I want to score more goals. It doesn't matter if it's a wonder goal or a tap-in, I'd love to get to 50. If it could kickstart a dream summer off him, because he's included in Zimbabwe squad for the African Cup of Nations.
Oh, wow.
And potentially... the first game will be against, if he plays, will be against Egypt. So he'll be potentially playing Mo Salah.
Wow.
So you have a situation where, yeah, you've got, you know, proper world football, coming from non-league, in England.
Just a sort of offshoot from that, like the Cup of Nations this year is actually going to be fantastic. Because there are a lot of teams that made it that have never made it before.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of the bigger teams that didn't make it. This could be an interesting one.
It's exciting times for that, isn't it? So the hopefully, you know, potentially Bonn might get to 50, the big 5-0. Yeah.
Now, just completely in a different direction from what you just speaking about. On Amazon, football betting mugs. And the description of this item. It says, Leighton Orient Football Club supporters rival team joke funny new and easy office tea and coffee mug gift. And written on it, it says, Leighton Orient supporters mug. And then underneath it says, not to be confused with a cup.
Very good. So, well, that might prove to be bollocks if Orient go and not only win the Vanarama.
Exactly, if they win, they
get the double.
They've won the league. Yeah,
four people have done it before, apparently. They're aiming to the fifth team to do the league and FA Trophy final, a double.
This mug, not cup, has four reviews. It's five stars, and only one of them has more than one word. One says excellent.
Excellent.
One says perfect. One says ideal, and the other one says as described.
As described, very much less than
it is a mug.
It's a mug which looks the same as it does there. So it'd be a bit remiss of us, I think, Gareth, not to mention the fact that Leighton Orient have had a difficult couple of years.
Yeah, we didn't want to sort of go into it too much because I'm sure it's been well documented.
It's been well documented, and Leighton Orient are never going to come up on our podcast again because they're not going to get relegated.
Promoted,
and they're not going to get relegated, are they?
So we don't want to end on a bad note.
So Barry Hearn sold off a couple of years ago. It's been a few years. There was potentially the club was being threatened with its very existence. It's been a kind of long road back. They're a classic. I mean, it was only in 2014, I believe it was, when they were playing Rotherham to get in the Championship.
Yes, they were one game away from the Championship, and then 2 years later they're in non-league, or 3 years later they're in non-league.
Absolutely. So there were scenes when they got promoted in the from the Football League, like pitch invasions and stuff, and you can sense a kind of collective outpouring of that sort of relief that the club are back
the
where they probably belong.
The Italian wankers that owned them before.
True story.
They had their own version of, like, what was it? Sunderland to Man City, but it was on Italian TV basically. And it wasn't, oh, look how good we are, it was, oh, look how shit we've made this club.
The manager of Leighton Orient, Justin Edinburgh, said that there'll be an interview with the East London and West Essex Guardian. Justin Edinburgh, the manager, says there'll be there'll be no sentiment in the team selection for the FA Trophy final, as opposed to how do you pick a team with sentiment? Do you like, is it like Manchester United choosing, like, you know, Bobby Charlton or, like, you know, Eric Cantona in the Europa League fight? Like, how do you pick a team with sentiment? Is it like, oh,
maybe it's a couple of players that are a bit older that might not be with the team in League Two.
I suppose. I just got these images of, because, you know, like those basketball tournaments where they're winning by 30 points and they bring on the kid who's got, you know, severe learning difficulties, who, like, gets a basket because he gets lifted up on the thing. I was thinking, like, this is a final. Of course, there shouldn't be sentiment.
The reserve goalkeeper, isn't it?
It's been a difficult season. Absolutely, and quite right. There shouldn't be any sentiment at all.
Go out to win it. It's a final.
Absolutely.
What's the point of being in the final if you're not going to win it or try and win it?
Absolutely.
I got this bit about the Texas millionaire pours his fortune into lowly Leighton Orient.
Texas millionaire?
Yeah. Investment in fifth-tier football club makes no sense financially, admits Kent Teague.
What do you mean, Teague?
That's his name, Kent Teague.
Oh, Kent Teague is his name.
Yes,
he says, because I was thinking when you said Texas, but I was thinking it's like from Dallas. It's like some oil magnate.
My name is Kent Teague.
I got Leighton Orient.
If you want to make a profit, Kent Teague advises against investing in the wrong end of the football league.
It's not Better Call Saul, it's Better Call Kent.
The Texas multimillionaire is the majority owner at Lake Norian. Team that lies in the... Obviously, blah, blah, blah at the time, because this is a couple of years ago. And it's just basically saying the bulk of funds come from Mr. Teague now, principal investor and vice chairman of Leighton Orient. Though the price was undisclosed, the men have said they spent millions of pounds on the takeover. Because obviously the people that had it before, they wanted something like 20 million or something for the club when they were in League One, I think it was. And then they're in the National League. They're like, yeah, we still want lots of money. We spend lots of money. It's like, yeah, but you didn't do anything.
It's like we're playing Beaconsfield Town now.
Yeah, exactly. And it says foreign investors.
No diss to our mighty cousins in Beaconsfield.
Even if some people want to call them Beaconsfield.
Beaconsfield.
Foreign investors have been on a buying spree in English football, taking over four clubs in the Premier League in the past 2 years, where domestic and global television broadcasting deals have delivered a steady flow of cash. Others have been bought clubs a tier down in the Championship, and even clubs in the lower division leagues such as Wigan and Portsmouth. Many of the new owners argue that football is a growth industry and clubs should benefit financially from better management. Some are gambling on a shot getting into the Premier League and reaping the rewards. Mr. Teague, though, he dismisses such ideas. He said the financial model of sports doesn't lend themselves to making money, especially at this level. He says in the Southern drawl, voila!
We're going to get letters about this, yeah. I know.
Whilst in Lake Norris' boardroom overlooking its stages, maybe in the Premier League, maybe in the NBA, NFL, Major League Baseball, but outside of that group, you really don't find massive returns of investment. but he basically says, like...
Now, Port Vale on a Tuesday night doesn't quite hit the same heights as,
He basically says, like, he's not going to make money out of it. He's just doing it for the love of...
It's for the love of the game.
Just putting some money into a club.
For the love of the game.
At a level. And he knows he's not going to lose as much money as he would if he put money into a team in the Premier League or Championship. Mm. So why not?
Why not?
So that was the end of our Leighton Orient section.
It was.
Before I explain the next part of it, because Chris doesn't know anything about it, we'll just say good luck to all four teams and all of the fans. And we are going on Sunday, or tomorrow, when you listen to this. And we're going to take a little microphone up. And we want to just interview as many people as we can, really.
That's the plan.
If you see some drunk idiots stumbling everywhere, then you'll know that's us. AFC Flynn scarves
all around us. Like our plan is to be like proper journalists, but I think we might not. We might be scared. I've never done it before, so
I said in a previous podcast, we journalpists.
We're journalpists. I'm not sure.
It's going to be an early start, probably about 9:30, 10 o'clock.
Oh, bloody hell! It's after Eurovision night. Oh,
who cares?
Me! I always watch Eurovision. It's good fun, you know.
Is that what you're vibrating in your dressing gown about?
That's all I vibrate because of that. I've got some news.
Hello, boys. But what I did earlier on Twitter, in the lead up to us recording today, I put we have a £10...
Oh, no, I do know. I did see this because one of the teams retweeted it.
Yes, they did. Cray Valley. CVPM.
CVPM. Brackets.
Yes, brackets. Maybe their nickname should be the brackets.
The brackets.
But we have a £10 bet that's going to be placed for Sunday's games.
Yeah.
It'll be double picking the winners.
Is this your £10?
Yeah.
only
because my bet that I did at the start of the season came in. So I've got some extra money in my account. I said, who do you think will win? Vote below, tell us who you've gone for. And then I just tagged all the teams that are in it. And I did, obviously, the repercussions or whatever you want to call it of the teams that could, you know,
the four options.
So Fylde and Cray Valley, Fylde and Chertsey, or Leighton Orient and Cray, and Cray Valley and Leighton Orient and Chertsey. Obviously the team that retweets it's probably going to get the most votes, but we did actually get 77 votes. Not too bad.
That's some proper social media interaction.
In last place with 0%.
Oh, no one thinks votes, so. Oh god, here we go.
Fylde and Chertsey. In third place with 5%, Fylde and CVPM.
Yeah.
Second place with 19% is Leighton Orient and Chertsey.
Okay, yeah.
So that means obviously in first place with 75% of the votes, Leighton Orient and CVPM, or Cray Valley, the brackets.
I get the feeling Cray Valley have gamed this
potentially
by retweeting themselves.
Yes.
I mean, basically, I mean, it's your money, so, you know, good luck to him.
And good luck to me.
So, Gareth, what are the odds on the double, which is the most popular one in our poll, with 77 respondents? 75% have gone for Leighton Orient and Cray Valley Paper Mills.
Yep. So, obviously, Leighton Orient, they are 5-4 to win.
Yeah, in normal time.
In normal time. Mm-hmm. And Cray Valley Paper Mills is 5-2.
So, no penalty. We don't want any penalties.
No, it's just in the 90 minutes.
No penalties.
We wanted penalties for earlier, but we don't because there's less drinking time.
That's true.
So we do want a 90-minute result, really.
And we want two correct 90-minute results.
So for £10, it results in £78.75p.
If we win that bet, I have taken Monday off work, so...
You have?
We may have to... I have. What time's our last train?
Last train is very late.
About 10:30, isn't it?
11. Yeah, it's 10:30, 11 o'clock.
Be all right.
So, well, the game will finish about 6 o'clock.
So, boys and girls of Knickers Twin Podcast land, if you see a couple of stumbling...
Idiots
with AFC Flind scarves...
I really want to buy one. With a
University of Sussex bright orange mini rucksack drawstring bag with a microphone in it, do say hello.
I really want to buy one of those scarves.
I really want one as well.
It's so stupid.
We can buy it without winning.
AFC Flind.
It's just all sorts of wrong. And N is nowhere near Y or D.
No.
It's a conscious decision to put the letter M in that. Someone's gone, it needs an N. Just like it needs an L in North Ferriby.
Yes, which is nowhere near B or Y.
No.
So we've finished our, potentially, I'm going to say, our last episode of the season.
Because there might not be a final product, because we might not remember anything.
It depends what happens on Sunday, because TBC. We are going as fans to watch the games and not necessarily to actually interview people. But if we do get enough interviews to fulfil enough time to put something decent out, then we will do that.
If we stay sober long enough.
Yeah, if it's not decent, then we won't do it, and we'll just apologise on Twitter.
Yeah.
And... apart from that, we are done for today,
woo!
For this episode.
And for this season, potentially.
And potentially for the season. So, as we always do, we're going to plug ourselves. So, my Twitter is at Gareth Lewis. What is yours, Chris?
Chris J. Mason 12.
And Chris Harris's is
C. Harris July 66.
If you type in
Surround
Lewis
sound.
if you type in Lewis fanzine on Twitter, it will come up with that. And then our personal one is KTE Pod. And then if you want to email us, even during the off-season, maybe something ridiculous has happened with your club, it is ktepod@gmail.com. So thank you for listening. And this has been...
See you next year, Pete.
Season one of the KTE
season
Pod.
Season one.
First season.
We won't have second season syndrome. It'll be all right. First season's excellent reviews all round.
Yes.
And
5-star reviews.
We are actually waiting for... like the Game of Thrones, we're waiting for the person to catch up. Yes. We're going to go ahead of ourselves.
Who's going to die next? Well, I mean, Chris is closest, isn't he, to be fair?
Well, you'd probably say so.
So we're going to leave you with the final word, Chris.
We're going to leave it like exuberant.
Exuberant.